We are. Third hour. Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yep. Tim Hasselbeck. Our weekly chat with him. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. D-Mace has been on the show with us the last 2 days. He's not on today. He'll be back on with us tomorrow, filling in for your buddy who's now a suit, Tim. So just so you know, you may be getting D-Mace, you know, some questions from him in the near future. So
I told you, I sat next to him on a flight and, like, talk about just getting peppered the whole way. I was like, man, I'm trying to just relax a little. You know, you want to talk the entire flight.
Kind of like when he was on the playing field. He was a little yappy when he played, you know?
That is actually true.
So we were talking about this yesterday. I brought it up to Derek, and I brought it up today with Willie. So I now want to get your take without hearing the answers and just see where you're going to go with this. So it's no secret. Nationally, you know, you're on the national platform. You know, the conference championship game is really this weekend at Arrowhead between the Bills and the Chiefs. Like, that's really the AFC championship game, right? And you've got the Titans as the one seed. Derrick Henry coming back in the mix. Their resume that they have this year. Why do you think that no one's really talking about the Titans? Meanwhile, they've played the Bills and beat them this season. They've played Kansas City and beat them this season. They've played L.A. out there without Derrick Henry and beat the Rams. They played the 49ers and beat them. Why do you think yet people still are not really talking about the Titans? Why? What do they not believe in?
Well, I think there's two reasons why.
Okay.
The first is, you know, they haven't seen Derrick Henry in so long. And, you know, when he got hurt, there definitely was a stretch where the offense didn't play great. And, you know, with that being the case, I think there's, you know, plenty of skepticism of, you know, like what it's going to look like if he does come back. And if he doesn't come back, are they really good enough, you know, without him to truly, you know, be a team that represents the AFC in the Super Bowl? So I would say that that's the first thing. Look, right or wrong, I think that is the first reaction. You know, in a run-first offense with, like, this big, powerful back, not having him, I think, has given people pause. Okay, so that's one thing. And then I would say this is the other thing, and it's probably the bigger reason, is that I think of all of the four quarterbacks
that
are still alive. You got me?
You got me?
You said bingo, is that it? I thought you were complaining about the West Wing. So here's the deal. So of the four quarterbacks, people view Mahomes and Josh Allen is, you know, two of the best in the league, two of the best, I don't know, five quarterbacks in the league, if you will. In terms of physical talent and all that stuff, they're incredible, and people recognize that. And then when you look at Burrow, you know, because he's a young player who's no doubt an ascending player, and because he's played great this year, the people have looked at that and said, okay, let's rank the quarterbacks. And I think that nationally, people would put Ryan Tannehill fourth. Before kind of finish up, I would say this, and you guys may remember this. We talked in the off season. It was probably the time of year where it was like, hey, you know, there's no news, so what should we do today? You know, let's start ranking quarterbacks, or somebody had an article. Let's start ranking quarterbacks in terms of attributes, arm strength, awareness, scramble ability, ability to create, all those different things. You guys may remember this.
Yep.
And it came to Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, I think it was actually someone at ESPN who had done the article. And so I participated in it and had to rank all the quarterbacks and all the different groups. And when I came on with you guys and you were talking about the article, the thing I said to you was like, look, Ryan Tannehill is showing up in all of these in the top. He's showing up in all of them in the very top. And so for whatever reason, maybe it was his time in Miami, maybe because it's a run offense, whatever, he is not viewed right now nationally the same way the other quarterbacks are.
Yep, that's where we went. I mean, that's honestly where I think it lies. But then I'll ask you, because I think that is the real number one answer if we're playing Family View. That's the number one answer. But why does it? Why don't the 49ers get the same treatment? They've got an average a guy that's not considered elite in Jimmy Garoppolo. People hold their breath with him as well. So why don't people treat? They were the sexy upset pick in Wild Card Weekend. So why aren't people treating them the same?
Because their star players, you know, their Derrick Henry equivalent are healthy, and you know, for all the Jimmy Garoppolo hate that's out there, look, people can still kind of jump back onto the, well, he did take a team to a Super Bowl, and I think naturally there's a there's a respect for Kyle Shanahan in terms of just kind of what his offenses have always looked like. I would just tell you this. I think nationally, I think you just go around at people that, I don't want to say this for sure. I don't know what it would be. But I guarantee you, if you pulled some gotchas, on like, okay, name the Titans defensive, play caller. Name the Titans offensive play caller nationally. I mean, guys, look at the names that are being, brought up for coaching vacancies, to fill them. None of them are guys from Asheville. None of them.
Good point. It's a really good point.
I think there's a big lack of familiarity, Tim, with, and I think it goes beyond just knowing who the players are. It's also not really understanding how shorthanded they were for large chunks of the season with critical players, not just Derrick Henry. Everybody knows that. But it goes way beyond that.
That's Willie's theme. Like, Derrick and I we both think it's the quarterback. That's why they don't. Derrick said, look, if Russell Wilson was the quarterback here, we would, the national media would never stop talking about the Titans as the one seed. And I agree with him. But Willie's theme is they don't pay attention to the Titans, so they don't really know.
Yeah.
They're unfamiliar.
I think that's true. No, listen, that's not to say that, I know, I'm positive that Teddy Bruschi has been on Sunday Countdown talking about the Titans, and I know for a fact my brother has as well. We kind of talked about some of the things that he was going to bring up about them. I think there have been people that have, kind of brought to attention just the sheer number of players that have had to play because of, like you guys said, the injury situation, the guys that have been in and out of the lineup. I mean, I feel like that has been brought up, and I do think that, there probably have been people that have at least acknowledged the job that Mike Vrabel has done. I'm just saying, when people talk about the Rams, they talk about, Raheem Morris, and they talk about, Kevin O'Connell, and they talk about McVay. And, I think, when people talk about the Rams, they talk about the Chiefs, they talk about Steve Spagnuolo, and they talk about Andy Reid, and they talk about Eric Bieniemy. I mean, they're talking about other, people that are on the coaching staff. I mean, heck, look at the Cowboys. It's like, who's in charge, Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore or Mike McCarthy? I think on the whole, whether it's just lack of familiarity, whether they're not paying attention, I don't know. But I do think, as somebody that participates nationally, that all of that is true.
I know you're not supposed to do this, but you're not a player anymore, and we're not, representing the team. We're just doing a sports talk show, so we can do this on Sports Talk Radio. If you had to, if you're picking, let's say the Titans can find a way to win this game, the most favorable opponent would be whom for the AFC Championship game, in your opinion? Who should Titans fans be rooting for Sunday night if the Titans take care of business on Saturday afternoon?
I think that I would probably say Buffalo. And the reason I would say Buffalo is, you guys know how I feel about Andy Reid. I think Sean McDermott's a great coach too, but I would give the coaching edge to Andy Reid. The team's experience, kind of in the big moments, they've proved that they can do it. And then, something that I feel like I've been kind of talking about for more than a year now is that the Bills, to me, you know, oftentimes get too complacent, kind of too lazy just to rely on Josh Allen. You know, like if you're going to ask your quarterback to throw it 50 times and run it 15, like if he has a great day, you're going to have a great day. But if he doesn't have a great, great day, then it could get flipped upside down on you quickly. And I think, you know, while Kansas City needs their quarterback to play well, one of the things they've done a very good job of with some of the young offensive linemen that they've drafted that have played well is that they're starting to become a little bit more of a power running team, which, you know, is and their backs are contributing. And so for that, you know, I would say, you know, I'd rather play Buffalo. But look, that's not to say that the Titans can't beat the Chiefs. You know, I did a breakdown on Week 18 game where, you know, the game mattered for the Chiefs because they played before the Titans. The one seed was still up for grabs. They obviously did not know what Tennessee was going to be doing, you know, in that game. And the lack of effort, you know, defending the run game was astonishing to me. And so, you know, I could see a scenario where, you know, the Titans get Kansas City and are able to just run the ball down their throat.
All right, I've asked everybody on the show this week, without any of us knowing, because none of us know, and the Titans, I don't think they know truly until they get into it on Saturday, how Derrick Henry is going to look. By the way, he's speaking to the media right now as we speak, and we'll have that for you a little bit later. What do you think is a realistic number of carries for him on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, here's what I would say. I would guess, and I don't know the nature of his rehab, but, you know, knowing, like, just the history of him as a player, like, he seems like the kind of guy that, like, if you told him, you know, the game was tomorrow, like, he's physically ready. A little bit like J.J. Watt, right? Like, it's like, hey, you've missed time because you've got this injury. Hey, but you're going to play 65 snaps. And the guy's like, all right, I got it. You know, like, I'm physically better than everyone else anyway. I got it. Like, he just, I get that sense from him. Like, I don't get the sense that, like, he's going to be tired running the football. I just don't know that I've ever really seen him that way. And so, you know, I think that, like, if he's healthy, if you're not worried about the bone in his foot breaking, if that is not a concern because he's been cleared, and I would hope for his case that that is the true diagnosis of in clearance for him, you know, he's at no more of a risk to re-injure that than if it never happened. If that's the case, then I don't see any reason why he shouldn't have 25 carries.
I tend to agree with that, and maybe you get a feel for it. He's maybe not in football shape, but I tend to agree that you've got to just test it out. You've got to just have faith that it's ready, either it is or not. So, Tim, let me throw this at you. The Bengals, that's another team that, you know, I think we're all – they haven't played the Titans since last year. Both teams were very different last year, although that was an intriguing game because the Bengals won. They weren't a very good team, mm-hmm. but they still lit up the Titans. It kind of shows how far the Titans' defense has come. But the line is 3. I was a little surprised, for all these reasons we've been talking about, that the line is 3. But let's look at it from the Bengals. As you watch them closely, are they a solid team? Are they a good team on the rise? How would you define them?
I think they are a very good team, and I think they are a very good team on the rise. Their strength on offense is their skill position players. There's no question about it. Their quarterback's a superstar. The running back is a, you know, Pro Bowl caliber player. They have 3 legitimate, you know, weapons because Boyd's great in the slot. Higgins is a unique player because of his length and his speed and his ability to adjust to the football. And then obviously Jamar Chase is like a, you know, like a you know, today's version of Steve Smith, but he's got remarkable chemistry with the quarterback. And Uzama, the tight end, you know, is a guy that no one ever talks about, but he is a really nice player. So, you know, their skill position players are great. Their offense is no doubt the weak link. But because their play caller is a smart and creative guy, and because their quarterback is such a good player and does a nice job, you know, escaping, you know, they're able to hide it a little bit. You know, they get into empty a lot, which you think, well, why is that a good idea if you have a bad offensive line? Well, it's good because it spreads things out for the quarterback, and he can create, and he also does a nice job of getting the ball out of his hands quickly, where, you know, the rush ultimately doesn't matter. And then defensively, they've got a better-than-average pass rush, and I think their secondary is really good. I think they have excellent players, and I think they've played really well pretty much all season long in the secondary. So, you know, I think the weak link of their defense is their linebackers, but their secondary players, in my estimation, have had very, very good years.
I am curious to see how far the Titans' defense has come as you lay out all the weapons that the Bengals have, because last year, despite the fact that the Bengals had a brutal offensive line, it's come a long way since then, the Titans didn't get any pass rush that day. But this year we know that when they've got their front four and they're as healthy as they've been all year, they can get to the quarterback. And I think that is going to be maybe the biggest thing to watch for in this game.
Yeah, I agree. Like, looking at last week's game for Cincinnati, I thought, look, the challenge is, like, Max Crosby could ruin the game because, you know, you go back to the Week 18 game against the Chargers. Like, Max Crosby, outside of the quarterbacks, was the most impactful player in that game. Like, the front four of the Raiders dominated the Chargers. And I thought, you know what, there's a chance that this happens against Cincinnati. Now, the Bengals did an excellent job of, they chipped at times. They slid to Crosby. They got the ball out early. Burrow did a nice job of, you know, eliminating negative plays. And so, you know, all of those things happened to kind of negate the fact that, look, they were physically better than Cincinnati up front. Now, okay, so can they do that same thing? Because I will say this, as great as Max Crosby is, and he's great, you know, I do think that there's an element in terms of the depth at defense on the defensive line, you know, for Tennessee is better than the Raiders, you know, between Landry's ability to rush on the edge, so the way Simmons dominates, literally, you know, can dominate on every down. You know, I just think that, you know, Autry's had a good year. Like, I just think that there's a, you know, an element of the depth in how, you know, there's more than one guy that can kind of take the game over. I think that's the case for Tennessee.
You had to be pretty impressed with how easily the Rams dispatched the Cardinals. And now you're looking at them and saying, "Woo! If they've got everything going, man, they have a talented roster." But for them to just get to the Super Bowl, they had to beat a very good Arizona team. Now they've got Tampa, and then in theory, they would have to go to Green Bay and win. That's one of the toughest roads that I can think of, but the Rams might be talented enough to do it.
Oh, I think so. Look, I thought, you know, there were two teams in the postseason that could go to Lambeau and win, and it was going to be the Dallas Cowboys, you know, or the Rams. You know, the thing about the Rams and why I think they could do it, Willie, is, you know, like, that is a championship defense. Like, I think we all probably recognize that. When you watch them, like, their speed, their ability to have, like, multiple pass rushers, the way they get negative plays in the run game, the way they have guys that can have, like, game-altering plays on defense, is really incredible. And then, you know, offensively, Stafford has just been so hot or cold. Like, his good is so good and kind of always has been throughout his career. His bad this year has been really bad. This past weekend against Arizona, there wasn't the bad. The bad never showed up. And if that's the case, then it's like, wow. Like, yeah, how are you going to defend those guys? And I remember talking to you guys, you know, I guess it would have been prior to the season when Cam Akers tore his Achilles. Like, getting him back is so significant. He is such a versatile player. I mean, he's so good in both the passing game and the run game. Like, the getting him back is, you know, it's like if you didn't have Joe Mixon and you're getting Joe Mixon back. Like, he can be that good. And so, yeah, I think the Rams, while the road is tough, the team is really good.
All right, last one from me. Tim, give me your assessment of the last play that ends the Cowboys season. I thought they did, up until that point, a really good job to get the ball down in position where they had a couple of chances there. But take me through that play. Like, if you're going to call that play, you have got to make sure that you do it right. And obviously they screwed it up.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, one, I agree with you if you think about how they got to that point, right? The hook and ladder. Then they essentially ran like a swing, you know, sweep with Zeke. They actually clearly had a plan, and it got them to that position. So here's what happens. At 14 seconds left, they complete a pass that goes out of bounds, okay? So their clock is stopped. They're getting ready to run another play. San Francisco has got too many men on the field. But as they have too many men on the field, they line up in a different defense than they had been in the previous three snaps, and they start protecting the sideline, which is probably what they should have done on the previous down. So they're protecting the sideline, but yet they, right as Dallas is getting ready to snap the football, they call a timeout because they've got too many men on the field. So it gives Dallas the ability to see it, to see how they were lined up. So timeout's called. So now they go over to the sideline, and they're like, all right, look, we saw it now. They're going to line up with this layered defense protecting the sideline. So here's what we want to do. Rather than us throwing something up from midfield, let's try to get another 12 yards. I think it was second and one at the time. Let's try to get another 12 yards, clock the ball so that we get one final play, which would be a five vertical play into the end zone, probably similar in some ways to like what the Chargers ran week 18, you know, against the Raiders. So, hey, let's get, you know, let's do it. So here's our operation. We're going to package the play. So if you watch it again, you'll see Dak. Dak alerts to it. So, like, they have a play call, but if they give them a look, we're going to alert to it. Now, here's what I would say. I think the mistake that Dallas makes is this, twofold, okay? One, I think that Dak runs too far, okay? So if you're going to quarterback draw and run it, right, you can't run that far. So that would be one thing. The other thing is this. It's faster to throw, like, an inside slant and have that guy declare himself down. And that's no different than, like, when you watch kids in a fast break, you know, playing basketball. It's like, dude, don't dribble up. Like, pass it up. It happens faster passing it up rather than running it. So it's going to take a little bit longer by running the quarterback draw versus throwing, like, an inside slant that immediately declares himself down, and there you go. Now, Willie, all of that to say, the referee is out of position. Go back to the game in September where it's Green Bay versus San Francisco. There's 16 seconds left on the play clock. Aaron Rodgers completes a pass to Devontae Adams, who ends up being down by the numbers about, you know, 20-something yards down the field. The official is flying down the field, taps the football once it's spotted at the hash mark, and they spike the ball. Like, the official, when Dak Prescott went down inside the hash marks, was 35 yards away. So all of these things can be true. The ref can be wrong, and the Cowboys can be wrong, and Dak can be wrong. And I think that's what happened in that situation.
But what do you think
they'll
about
be talking
that?
About that the entire offseason?
Oh, yeah. But what do you think
spreading
about that
the blame
being
around.
A designed play call in that spot? Is that the best?
Because you are running a risk, right? When you call,
like,
that,
you know
that could happen. The ref
is that
could
the
be.
Best
but
call?
But here are your options. Here are your two options. The quarterback draw or some type of quick inside slant that guy declares himself down. And the reason I say that is you weren't going to complete something on the sideline with how they were lined up. Like, you just weren't. Like, there was going to be a wasted play. So your option, your only two options are something in the middle of the field, quickly declare yourself down. So here's the other thing. The official, in a play like that, the official should never move the ball. Like, it's their position that a foot or a yard in that scenario is completely immaterial. That official should never pick that football up. All he should do is tap the ball with his hand. That is all he should do. Like him moving the ball a half a yard does not matter. It's immaterial. And truthfully, that's the official's that's their position on it. Not mine. Like, that's theirs. So that they also did it wrong. Like, if they do it right, like, then there's one shot. Now, like, again, like, and I feel in some ways I feel like we're doing a disservice to the Niners because, like, truthfully, like, they lost the game because of the 14 penalties that they had. I mean, that's why they lost the game, not because, you know, they ran a bad play at the end of the game.
Well, they played like crap. I mean, let's just call it what it is. They were terrible. They didn't deserve to win it. But San Francisco, the fact that they let them hang around like they did, like Dallas shouldn't have even been in the game. And that's where I want to end with this. This is going to stick with Dak. I think I'm going to be very interested to see how he handles things moving forward because, you know, before the contract, when they didn't give it to him, everybody was like pro Dak Prescott and give the man, pay this man, give him his contract. And, you know, what are we talking about? He's a franchise quarterback and this and that. Now he's been paid. And this was the spot of where you know how this works, Tim. I mean, come on. You signed the big deal. This is what they pay you for. And the guy who was making $40 million this year played like crap in that game. He was not good. I mean, I don't know, unless you feel differently, I didn't think he was very good at all. And they didn't win, and I know the penalties aren't all his fault, but I didn't think he was very good in that game. And I know they couldn't run the ball.
No, he played poorly. He played poorly. I was actually surprised. I think it was maybe Romo doing the game and Romo and Nance doing the game.
Yeah,
I was actually surprised because I think Romo made a comment like, you know, he's playing well, and it was like, I actually didn't think he, I think it was like after the first half, I thought he struggled. I thought he missed open guys. I thought he was late. I thought there were times he held on to the ball when he didn't need to. I thought there were times he could take off and run, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. So I would agree that he did not play well. I did not think he did. I will say this, though, and I think you saw it come out with how the game ended and everything. Dak's not the one that is going to be – that's under the microscope that everyone's going to be all over. It's Mike McCarthy.
It's Meathead. Meathead coach.
I mean, Mike McCarthy is like, for whatever reason, maybe you started it. He is public enemy number one, you know, for that. And so it's never going to be Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore. I mean, let's just also Kellen Moore is probably the one that called the play. Yes, the head coach is on the headset and all that stuff, but like if Kellen Moore is calling all the plays, he called that play. So, you know, but it's still always going to come back to Mike McCarthy, and I think if Dak ever plays poorly, it's still coming back to McCarthy.
Hey, I was saying this stuff in training camp. It's not like I'm jumping on now when everybody else is. You know, I was saying this in training camp.
But you know the reason for that. Darren was very disappointed at the entertainment level of Hard Knocks. He's a big Hard Knocks fan. Yeah. It wasn't very entertaining. He blamed Mike McCarthy.
Dallas.
That's where your sore spot is. It's all personal. It's all personal for you, Darren.
I just said I think he sounds like a meathead. And by the way, you had a great line last week and said, look who he's talking to.
Hey.
Which was a great line.
I mean, right? Like, let's be honest. What are we dealing with?
Well, this is why they're taking the heat, and he deserves the heat because what was he brought in to do? Like, everybody's
he's
been praising Kellen Moore,
Garrett.
And everybody's been praising McCarthy, and the offense was supposed to be the absolute 100% strength of this team, and who's been getting all the praise with this year's team? Who's the hot commodity for the next head coach? The defensive coordinator. That's where the problem lies. Right?
I mean, here's what I would say. I certainly didn't think they were a Super Bowl team coming into the season. If you're going to ask me in 2 years, you know, are the Dallas Cowboys in a better spot than when Mike McCarthy, you know, before Mike McCarthy took over, I would say undoubtedly yes, by a wide margin. So, like, I think they're getting better under him as the head coach. So whether you want to attribute it to the coordinators or the front office or whatever you want to attribute it to, like, the reality is they're better than they were 2 years ago, and the future actually is pretty bright there in my estimation. So, like, there's part of it for me where I'm like, I get it, you're disappointed you lost, you know, in the first round of the playoffs, but you're better than you were a year ago.
You're just not willing to concede Mike McCarthy with me. That's okay. I'll keep working on you.
You know, I mean, look, he's smart. Like, you could say, like, you know, his Pittsburgh roots, you know, comes across as a meathead stuff. Like, look, that might all be, you know, that might be true. But, like, I mean, I've been around too many other guys to know that, like, that's not a different delivery than maybe half the league.
Fair enough. All right, let's end it with this. Are we talking about the Titans in the AFC title game this time next week?
We are.
Hope you're right. Hope you're right, and hope we are. Tim, appreciate it as always. Thanks for the visit. Have a great week. We'll do it next week.
All right, sounds good. See you, fellas.
All right, Tim Hasselbeck. Great stuff from him, as always. And that visit was brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Really enjoyed that. That was good stuff. Like I said, Derrick Henry was talking. We should have that before we get out of here this hour. We'll come back more on the other side as you listen to Darren Dottie and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Who are we welcoming back?
Derrick Henry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The King.
Nicely done. Sorry. That one went over my head. My bad. I didn't know if we had a surprise guest or what was going on. That's right. And we're going to hear from him in just a moment. By the way, with the Predators having a game tomorrow, what does that mean? A chance for you to participate in Preds Pick to Click. That's brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, where you will call in tomorrow morning at 8:45. And if your player that you pick scores a goal that night against Winnipeg, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Predators home game. By the way, speaking of that, great segue. This is why you should never turn us off. I told you, don't do it. From 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, because you never know when you need to be listening. You just never know. So you have to be listening. Like right now, if you call up and tell Elijah at the Hillside Medical Game Studios who had the lone goal for the Predators last night, if you can tell him who scored the lone goal for the Preds last night, you'll win tickets to tomorrow night's game against the Winnipeg Jets. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tell Elijah Campbell who had the lone goal for the Preds last night, and you will be in Bridgestone Arena with us tomorrow night when the Preds host the Jets. See why it pays to listen? It's that easy. That's it. Good stuff there from Tim Hasselbeck. Really enjoyed that. We will have, speaking of the Preds, we will have the birthday boy, the voice, coming up at 1 o'clock, Peter Weber. He knows a little bit something about Buffalo. You know?
Yes, he does.
By the way, I did see where Trey Hendrickson was back at practice today. I expected him to play. I did not expect him to be out, as I suspect Bosa will be back for the 49ers as well. So it looks like no setbacks. Trey Hendrickson back at practice for the Bengals. He is a big part of what they do on defense. And with them losing their big D tackle, you had a feeling that Hendrickson was probably going to be on in there. By the way, we had Rocky Bloyman on yesterday, and we'll go back to Cincinnati again this week. And we need to ask whoever we have on from there if there's any significance to Zach Taylor spending so much time around Ryan Tannehill. You know, he's been around Ryan Tannehill going back to his days in college. He was at A&M when Tannehill was there. He was then in Miami at the beginning of Tannehill's career, so Zach Taylor has spent several years around Ryan Tannehill. Several years. So we can ask if there's any significance of that. I wonder how much of a – is that a big deal or not a big deal being made in that market? All right, do we have Derrick Henry?
Yes.
Elijah? Okay, we do. All right, let's – Derrick Henry back on the practice field and back talking to the media today. Here's what he had to say.
Welcome back.
Well, I know you missed me, Paul.
So, Derek, how are you feeling? And for you, I mean, as healthy as you've been in your career, is this the first time you've ever had to deal with an injury like this?
Yeah.
It was the first time that I got injured during the season and, you know, had to miss, you know, the rest of the season. So it was definitely different, a little adversity, but, you know, just glad that, you know, I was able to get through it and have my support system and, you know, happy to be back.
How did you like being back on the practice field and maybe what's your excitement level moving forward?
Yeah, you definitely appreciate this game a lot more when you're away from it, being away from your teammates, just having that camaraderie and, you know, going to work every day and why not play on Sundays each and every week. Definitely miss that. And, you know, just happy to be back. I'm appreciative of everybody that helped me get to be able to come back and contribute during the playoffs. And you know, just happy to be back playing football.
How did you feel after getting that extra contact in practice yesterday?
Say it again?
The extra contact that you got in practice yesterday, how did you respond to that? How do you feel after that?
Oh, yeah, I felt great. You know, just wanted to get some pads on, haven't had them on in a while, and get some contact going in. I appreciate those guys coming over to help me do that, and, yeah, definitely felt good.
Derek, what was maybe the toughest part of, you know, this whole rehab return to play process, and maybe what helped you get through that?
No, I love football. I mean, it's all I've known since I was 5 years old, and, you know, it's what I fell in love with. And, you know, it's the first time something like this has happened. And, you know, just adversity, and you just got to overcome it. And thankful for the trainers, my girlfriend who was driving me here 5 weeks straight when I couldn't drive. And, you know, everybody that, you know, supported me, Titans fans wrote get well letters. I definitely appreciate that. And, just having faith in the man above and, you know, just continuing to rehab, continue to get healthy and, you know, being able to have this opportunity right here.
Pretty much indestructible, Derek, you know, for the first several years. The fact that this injury has something to do with wear and tear a little bit too, you know, is that cause for concern looking forward in terms of the, you know, the amount of carries and so forth and the load that you can deal with going forward?
No, I don't think you worry about that. I mean, it's football. It's a game of injuries. Injuries happen. And, you know, you just got to keep pushing forward. And everything happened for a reason. You know, I don't try to get into all the what-ifs and this and that, and this. Just focus on the right now and appreciate the journey. And that's all I can do.
Between your feet right now in terms of cutting right, cutting left, planting, how close are you to the same on each side?
I feel good. I mean, I have a big steel plate on my foot. That's the only difference from the left foot to the right. But, I mean, I feel good. Just, you know, I haven't did anything like 2.5 months. So, you know, just getting back out there, getting acclimated to everything and, you know, getting back to being me.
Do you think you can kind of pick up where you left off? I mean, you haven't played the preseason a lot, so I know people talk about rust. Do you feel like you can kind of step back in and be the Derek you were at the start of the season?
Well, I mean, it all starts out here in the practice field and, you know, doing everything I can to be ready for Saturday. And that's where it starts. Just trying to work hard, trying to do the best I can to, you know, be the best player I can be for this team and try to contribute as best as I can. But, you know, the work starts out here like it always does.
How impressed have you been with the job that they've been able to do without you, Derek, to get to this point, to get the number one seed?
I was definitely the biggest cheerleader. You know, it was fun watching them, you know, while I missed playing with them, but did a great job. Guys stepped in, guys who were hungry did a great job running the ball. And, you know, overall as a team, they did a great job as well. And for us to have number one seed, get a bye week, and then come into the division around, against a good opponent.
Where are you there? Because I know that's a big part of that recovery process from the injury.
Back playing football. You know, that's all it is.
Feel like you'd be ready for a heavy workload on Saturday?
We ain't gonna get into all that, but whatever I can do to help, you know, I'm always for it.
What do you think the Bengals on defense and what kind of challenge do they present? They've been good against a run this year.
Yeah, they did a great job this whole year. And watching them against the Raiders, I felt like they did a great job. I know they got a couple guys that went down, but overall, you know, they're physical, penetrators, linebackers. They play very well, experienced in the back end. They, you know, do a great job blitzing, fast, try to get the ball out, and got a great experience. A lot of guys who played together for a couple of years, so we got our hands full and got to prepare for them this week.
Do you think there's something to taking the first hit on it in a game?
All these questions. I mean, I'm not really focused on that. I'm just ready to go out there and play. If you sit there and focus on all that, then you're not going to be yourself.
Is there any advantage, Derek, to maybe having fresh legs, you know, not having played, not having had wear and tear for the last 3 months? Is there a benefit to that going up against, you know, maybe guys who've been playing week after week?
I would think anybody who hasn't played in 2 months will, you know, feel, you know, pretty good about their body and where they're at. So,
Derek, you mentioned the adversity you've been going through this last several months. How difficult was that mentally for you? I know you said it was fun watching the Titans play and do so well, but also how difficult was that watching your team and being away from your organization?
It's always hard when, you know, you go down with an injury and, you know, the season's still going on and you love football, you want to play, but, you know, just got to work through it. And it's always going to be tough times, you know, when something like that happens. But, you know, what don't break you makes you. So that's the mindset I had, is just continue to rehab, get better, do the best I can to get back on the field.
You also mentioned your support system, how grateful you were to them and for everyone that kind of supported you through these last couple of months. How often did your teammates reach out to you, and how much did you feel that support from your team?
Oh, yeah, they reached out to me every day. Whoever it was that texted me before each game and just checking up on me, I definitely appreciated that. And, you know, my teammates are like family, so I definitely appreciated and was rooting for them while I was trying to get back.
Did you get a lot of letters? You mentioned letters from fans. Did you get a lot of support mail, and did you read a lot of it?
Yeah, I got a pretty good bit of them, and I definitely appreciated for them taking the time out to send love and send get well wishes. Got some of the best fans in the league, and definitely, you know, it was heartfelt messages, and I definitely appreciate it.
What was it like, back when it first happened? Like you said, you've really had no injuries. How kind of shocking was it not only to learn you'd been hurt, but that you might be out for such an extended period of time?
Yeah, it was definitely shocking. You know, like I said, this has never happened to me my whole career, so. It was just, you know, I was like, well, you know, can't do nothing about it now. Try to, you know, get surgery and start the recovery process. Try to get back as quick as I can.
So you expect to play on Saturday?
Do I expect to play?
Yeah.
See how this week goes, and we'll see where I'm at on Saturday.
How about the opportunity that this team has, being the number one seed, with an opportunity to do something that's, you know, never been done around here? How much are you guys looking to hopefully take advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah, you know, we definitely know it starts out here, and continue to get better on all three phases, compete, and then get ready for Saturday. But we have a big opportunity in front of us, and we want to make sure we stay focused every day in the meetings, in the practice field, and then let it lead to Saturday.
That last one, last year when you had a home game chance, how much did that sit with you at the end of that promising season?
Yeah, you know, not really trying to focus on too much of last year. You know, that's in the past, but we came up short last year, and definitely want to do the right things this year so that doesn't happen.
There you go, Derrick Henry speaking with the media today, and that was sponsored by Tire Man. Tire Man, for all your company tire needs, construction equipment, or fleet maintenance, you can call them at 615-663-6040. We'll come back and discuss what you heard on the other side to close out hour number three. But first, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. They are the ones that want you to get your financial freedom going for 2022. Great to hear from Derrick Henry there. And it certainly sounds like he's going to be in there barring any kind of crazy setbacks there. But no setbacks for Loan Pronto. They want to get you set for 2022. They keep letting everybody know that the financial environment is really good for you to take advantage of the new year and get cash out of your home's equity with the super fast, no cost refi from Loan Pronto. Home values are skyrocketing in our area. And because of that, you can get that used to your advantage by getting the cash out. By calling Loan Pronto now, you can get a check and you could put it towards high interest credit card loans to pay off some debt, or you can reinvest in your home with that home improvement project you're looking for, a kitchen, a bathroom, a pool, whatever it is. Your home's value is way up. So put that to use for you through Loan Pronto. It's a very easy digital process. It takes about 2 weeks, 14 days, 15 days, somewhere in there. The process is easy. And if you do that, you can skip your next two house payments. You got to love that. They'll pay your closing costs as well. All you have to do is call Loan Pronto and find out more about it. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1667181. Subject to lender approval, not all loans apply.
Back here on the DDC, shows presented by Kreshion CBD, products curated for life. Do you expect to be back on Saturday? No, I'm just here talking to the media. I know he can't say for certain. It's not his job to declare himself back. The head coach will do that, but who's kidding who? And yeah, obviously he could have a setback. He could, but
yep,
he's been practicing for a reason. He was talking to the media today for a reason, because it's not hard to connect those dots. He's going to be back on Saturday if his body, or his foot, I guess, is going to allow him to play, period. Bottom line. So I don't even – I did get a kick out of that.
I thought he was ready to answer the questions the way he wanted to answer them without revealing too much. You know, he had his way of pivoting back to some general stuff when people were trying to get specific on, you know, how does it feel when you cut a certain way, you know, questions along those lines, just trying to get into all of that. But I do think that that was a worthwhile press conference to hear. Number one, his attitude, you can tell he absolutely is ready to get in there. He's ready to do it. He was careful not to set the bar with expectations of carries, workload, anything like that. No regrets about the workload before that led to this. I thought it was interesting just to hear how he went through the process. You know, driving, couldn't drive for 5 weeks, he said. He wasn't allowed to drive at all. So it's a long road back that he's gotten to here. And so, but I think you could also sense there's a little bit of uncertainty. You know, what's going to happen when he gets in there? He hadn't played 2.5 months. So he's got questions just like everybody does, but I like his mentality. He said, you know, you can't think about it. You just have to go do it. You'd like to think that you're fresh and you're ready to go and you can just go play. He goes, you can't think about what about the first time you get hit and what about the first time somebody steps on your foot or something like that. You cannot afford to go there. And so I think he's got the right mentality.
Yeah, and he needs to – I mean, that's the right mentality to have. And that's no surprise. Like, Derrick Henry's been – by the way, he's gotten so much better in this setting, right? I mean, it's been cool to see how much better he is at – you know, I think there was – for so long, he was really uncomfortable. It just was not – you know, it was not something he was comfortable doing is probably the best word I could come up with. And he did it because it's part of the job. But now it's, you know, I don't want to say he's embraced it and it's like, yes, I'm speaking to the media today. But he's completely different than, let's say, a year and a half ago. Talking to the media, right?
And I think you could see, partially because he's gotten more comfortable in these settings, but you can see why people love him so much beyond just his talent. He's got a humbleness to him, but he's got a confidence to him. He is the man. And it's exciting to think about if he could get back to that starting on Saturday, something close to it. This is a guy the whole city rallies around, not just his team and his coaches and everybody. They love this guy. And the fans love him, and it goes beyond just because he's such a unique talent. You just love the way he carries himself. You know, he's got this aw shucks a little bit, but there's a quiet confidence. But he's upbeat. He's not negative in the least. He doesn't really come across as a guy that has much of an ego. He's an easy guy to get behind.
Yeah.
And he works. You know, that work ethic of his, it is really something.
Well, look, he gave the right answer on the, you know, on what to expect, because we've talked about it all week. Even Derrick Henry doesn't truly know. Like, nobody has the answer to what – that's why it's going to be fun on Friday with the workload, because we don't know how many carries he's going to – because we truly have no idea. I mean, you can go in with a plan, and they will. They'll have a plan. But every team goes in with a plan every game, and then you have to adjust, right? And maybe they have to adjust. Maybe they don't have to adjust. I don't know. We're about to find out, and they're about to find out. That's the thing. This is truly a question that nobody has the answer to until they kick off at 3:30 on Saturday. And then he gets a carry. And then he gets another carry, right?
I think their plan, and Mike Vrabel said it, their plan is to run the ball. Now, specifically, who runs it how many times? That is what they've got to try to figure out. I think they would love for it to be Derrick Henry, but the bottom line is they win when they run. Everything is predicated, the play action, all of that stuff. They have run it. They're confident they can run it. They're going to try to run it in order to win. So can Derrick Henry be the guy that runs it? I think that's plan A for sure.
We'll come back. We'll begin the final hour with our man Pete Weber. We will do that next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game.